Welcome to the Binge Eating to Food Freedom podcast with Katie Papo. Our mission is to share the simplest and most peaceful system for food freedom in the world with people who suffer from binge eating, food addiction, and compulsive overeating. We're here to show that with the right strategy and support, any committed, coachable, and resourceful individual can feel peaceful and free with food. Hello, hello. Ooh, we got a bunch of people here already, right on time. They're just like my favorite thing. So welcome, guys. Today actually starts a very special event. So we're going to start a four-week training where we're going to show you exactly how to end binge eating permanently without any food rules or therapy or restrictions of any kind. So I'm very excited and I'm grateful to all of you for being here. Please let me know you're here in the comments. Oh, Nancy's already writing right away. Hi, Nancy. I love seeing you here. I see that we've got a bunch of people already watching. So just so you know, I'm very grateful to be sharing this with you guys. And it was a bit of a hi, Jen. It was a bit of a humbling experience for me this morning because I was thinking back to like when I was first learning these practices that I'm going to teach you and how much I've been practicing and how far I've come with them. And I was like, wow, I could not have done this without this stuff. So I'm really grateful to be sharing it. Oh, yay. Katrina's here. Amy's here. Oh, I'm so happy. Elizabeth's here. Nice to see you guys. All right. So just so you guys know, I'm going to give you a little bit of a heads up now. I prepared all these slides for today. So if you're listening just on audio, like in the podcast later, if you're listening to the replay, just know that there I am referring to slides. So you might want to, you know, look on Facebook or YouTube for this video if you want to actually get the visuals. But I have a lot to get through today, like a lot to get through. So what I suggest is as I'm going through the slides, I won't be able to see your comments. So I'm only going to see them at the end. So we'll see what time it is at the end. But just know if you have questions or thoughts, comment anyway, even if I can't see them in that moment. Because what I'm hoping is we're also going to get to do Q&As. If not today, we're definitely going to do them throughout this whole training. So I will be, you know, like my assistant's going to help me and we're going to compile all of them. And then we're going to have a nice Q&A session for you guys. So just know that if you ask your question, it will not be lost. So please feel free. And also as you go, if there's insights that stand out to you that we go over today, write them down in the comments or in a notepad or somewhere. Write them down because that's going to help reinforce your own learning and memory. And we want that because all of this is about repetition. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to share my screen and we're going to get started. So just give me a moment to do that. I practiced the technology before coming on today, so we shouldn't have any hiccups. All right. So I'm just going to, oops, that's not what we want. We want that. Okay, so I'm just going to make sure that looks good. Oh, and I'm on there too. Okay, you can still see my little head. Great. Good morning, Laura. I'm so happy to see you guys. Thank you so much for being here. Okay, so this is the first training out of four. Okay, so today what we want to talk about is your biggest superpower that is within your control that you already possess. So basically, this is not something that you don't have. This is something that you already have, but just probably don't know how to use. And I know that we have a bunch of people listening today who have done our program already, who have worked with Shahar and I privately. So this is going to be a great refresher for you. But just remember, you also have recordings, like you have dozens of recordings that are going to reinforce this as well in your actual, you know, program modules. So all of this is going to be a refresher. But remember, and this is the big thing, everything we're going over today, 1% is going to be the theory that's, or I shouldn't say we're going over some theory today, but it's only going to make up for 1% of your success, okay? Understanding the theory is important. We need to get that down in order to take the next steps. But the practice, that is 99% of your success. So it's the practice, it's the consistency, and it's coming back and doing it again and again, because what we're doing here is we're rewiring the brain and we're rewiring the body. And in order to do that, we have to do it many, many, many times. So the actual practice is what's going to bring you the most success. Now, let's go over the agenda for today. Okay. So the first thing we're going to go over is choosing your intention and your mindset as you move forward into this practice at all. All right. That has to be the first thing. We have to go in with the proper intention, the proper mindset. The next thing is we're going to talk about this big superpower. I'm going to explain it. I'm going to explain how it works. Then we're going to talk about how to actually activate it. Okay. Like, what do you actually do in order to start practicing yourself? We're going to talk about some of the effects that will happen as you practice consistently. And then I'm going to give you your first tool. Okay. So we have two to three major tools that we're going to be going through throughout this 4-week training. Today, we're mostly going to focus on that very first tool and we're going to build on it. So definitely practice this week, but we're going to build on it in subsequent weeks. Then we're going to actually practice today. We're actually going to do a practice together, and I'm going to guide you through a practice today. And then I'm going to summarize how you can continue to practice at home over this next week. So that way, by the time we come back next week for class number 2, you have already had a week of practice. Does that make sense? Then at the very end, I'm going to talk about some obstacles to watch out for. Now, these are very common obstacles. We've worked with many people teaching these techniques and these strategies, and we've seen all the obstacles that come up. So I'm going to show you the most common ones so that you can be aware of them for yourself as you go into your practice. And then we'll summarize. All right. So this is the agenda for today. Sound like a plan? All right, let's go. So the first piece, choosing your intention and your mindset. So I'm going to go over, there's going to be 6 of these. Okay. So the first one here, we have to adopt the idea of consistency is going to be much more important than perfection. Okay. If we wait to be perfect, it ain't going to happen. We have to start and be willing to be imperfect at it. In fact, let yourself be bad at this in the beginning. Like, give yourself permission right now and saying, I might be awful at this to start, and that's okay. I'm here to practice. And I know that the more I practice, the more I stay consistent, the better it will be. But I don't need to pressure myself that I have to get this perfect on the first try. Not necessary. In fact, perfection's only going to slow you down. So remember, consistency versus perfection. The other piece, which is along the same lines, every bit counts. So when it comes to rewiring your brain, the more repetitions you get, each of those repetitions matter because it's creating the pathway that we want, right? So we need to go into it with the mentality of every little bit counts rather than the all or nothing. And you guys, we all know the all or nothing. We know it so well. Oh, I already ate all this, so I might as well just start my diet tomorrow. And da-da. We know the all or nothing. But we can't do that with this strategy. It won't work. The all or nothing mentality doesn't coincide well with this strategy at all. And if anything, it's just going to sabotage you right back. So forget the all or nothing. Allow this to be a beautifully imperfect practice and let it be so. The other thing to know is we need to have patience here. We can't look at this as a quick fix of, oh, I did the technique once. Why didn't it work yet? Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. That is not how this works. That's not how brain rewiring works. That's not how shifting in the subconscious mind works. That's not how training your physiology works. None of that happens as a quick fix. However, it will still be quicker than going years and years in the binge restrict cycle, okay? Because most of us, right, we've done this for at least a decade, right? A lot of us have. So if you've been struggling with this cycle for decades and decades, know that it's not going to take that long, but we also can't go at it with the quick fix of, oh, well, I did one practice, like, let me go weigh myself and see if something changed. If you take that mentality, it's only going to throw you back. So I'm just letting you know now how to shape this mindset. So that way, when you move forward, you can go through with confidence that it's okay to do it imperfectly. And with patience and with practice, you will only improve. And that goes for everybody. Like, what I'm teaching you today, you don't need to have like a specific skill set. Like, you don't need to have anything external. You just need your own human body, and that's enough. So anyone can do this, I promise. The other things to keep in mind as you're going forward, like learning these new things, is it's important to have a beginner's mind. A beginner's mind basically means you're going into it like, you know, with the innocence of a kid, like you're here to learn something new. Because when we go into something with a know-it-all mind of, oh, well, someone told me something like this already and that didn't work, right, then we're just closing ourselves off from possibilities. So it's important that when we come into something that we do it in its purity, we do it with that like open mind. And that goes into the second bullet point you can see here about being curious. right? Being curious versus judgmental. We don't want to prejudge things. Especially since I'm showing you guys stuff that you probably haven't done before, it's important to come into it with the open mind. And also at the end, the last bullet point here, we want to go into it with a researcher mind versus an attached mind. What does that mean? So think of how a researcher goes through things. Like it's that element of curiosity, right? The researcher isn't trying to force or create a certain outcome. Instead, focusing on what's actually happening, paying attention, observing, right? Having that like objective observational viewpoint, right? But without trying to be like, oh, well, I need to achieve these specific results by this specific deadline. Forget the results right now. We have to focus on the practice for this to work. So allow yourself to come into it with that mindset of, I'm here to experiment. I'm here to see. I'm here to learn something new about myself. Does that make sense? Let me just make sure this is all still working. Yes, you can all still see me. Okay. Oh, good. Minnie's here. Sabrina's here. Yay. I'm happy to see you guys. Okay. So the other thing to know, which I've talked about in the introduction last week, it's very important to release food rules and your weight obsession for now. Okay. Or I mean, forever, but especially now. But both of these things fuel binge urges. So the more food rules you create, the more you will want to binge. The more you are obsessed and thinking about your weight, the more you will want to binge. So you basically work against yourself. The more dieting you do, the more restriction you do, you are working against yourself. So let go of those things for now. And I know that can be scary, but you have a structure to put in the place. Cause I know a lot of times it's not like you want, right? And I know this was for me for sure. It's not that I wanted the food rules. I didn't want to be dieting. It's just that I felt like I needed structure because if I didn't have structure, it would just be chaos. So what I want to give you over the course of these next 4 weeks, starting today, is structure that you can depend on that has nothing to do with food rules. Okay. So you can let go of the food rules safely. Focus on the structure that you're going to be learning today and in the following three classes, rather than using the food rules as the structure or using the scale, okay? Because both of those things will fuel binge urges, and we don't want to propel anything that we don't have to. Make sense? All right. So now we're going to shift. That's the mindset, right? That's the setting the intention. But now we want to get into the actual superpower that we're talking about here. So I want to give you a little bit of background about it and why we're focusing on this first above all things. And then we'll get into the actual how of how do you practice and stuff like that. Okay. So your biggest superpower within your control. Notice how I'm always saying we want to focus on what's within your control, right? Because the thing that we hate the most about binge eating, I know for myself, is the feeling of being out of control. It's the worst feeling, especially if you're like a type A personality like me. It is, nothing is more stressful than feeling out of control, especially around something like food that you have to deal with all the time. So we want to focus on the things that are 100% within your control for this, so we don't fuel any further frustration. So what we want to focus on here and now is your ability to activate the parasympathetic nervous system. Okay, this has to be first and foremost. I will explain why, and then we will go into how. Oh, this is the first thing. Someone actually sent this to me. I obviously didn't put her name, but someone sent me this quote literally yesterday, and I thought it just summarized everything perfectly. And I wrote myself, okay, binge eating can be boiled down to compulsion and obsession within the mind around food, around weight, all those things. And she wrote to me, this was in an email, she said, the binge eating feels like an addiction. The minute the urge comes to mind, it's as if there's no turning back. I would leave the house near or far to fulfill whatever craving that pops up. There's no rational or logical thinking. And the reason why I wanted to use what she shared, which I mean, when I saw that, I was like, oh my God, that's exactly how it feels. The reason I wanted to share it is to emphasize, yes, there is no rational or logical thinking. That's why we're not going to control the binge urges trying to use reason, okay? Because if you've ever tried to reason yourself out of a binge, you know how poorly that works. So we don't want to go that route, okay? Reason's out the window as soon, because the compulsion and the obsession, right? they don't come because we're not reasonable or rational people. Most of us, right, are reasonable and rational people. And that's why it's so infuriating. Why can't I fix this? So keep in mind that what you're dealing with is compulsion, right? The urge to do something and feeling like you can't stop, and the obsession, right? Which is the inability to stop thinking about it. So notice how both of these are mental projects, right? So, and I know that traditionally in treatment of binge eating, a lot of people focus on diet, but we also know that restriction is what fuels binge eating. So we're missing something here. Compulsion and obsession, though, they're within the mind. And we also know that the diet isn't going to correct those things, because even if, let's say, I'm on a diet, I still might be thinking about all my trigger foods. I still might have the urges. I just might be fighting them to stay on the diet. So it's not that the diet actually gets rid of those things anyway. So if we want to actually get rid of the compulsion and the obsession, we need to make mental changes, changes in the mind, changes in the subconscious mind, and also changes in our physiology, as I'm going to show you guys. So getting back to the superpower. So why do we want to shift to the parasympathetic state? And I will explain what this is. So first of all, you guys know that there's the fight or flight response, right? That's the sympathetic nervous system. That's the part of our nervous system that kicks in when we're actually in danger, right? So if a lion was running after me, basically all of my rational thinking is going to go out the window and my body's going to take over to protect me. So I'm either going to fight, I'll lose if I fight, but I might run, right? Or I'll do anything to defend myself, but it's not going to be like, which thing should I choose? No, the body's just going to take over and it's going to happen. So all my energy, right? It's not going to go to other body functions like digestion or recovery. No, it's all going to go to fighting or fleeing. Now, the parasympathetic state, that's the other part of the nervous system, right? That's what is fondly called the rest and digest state. And exactly for that reason, right? Because when we're in that state, it prepares the body for proper rest, for proper digestion, for all sorts of optimal functioning for the body and mind. So if we're in a state of stress, and let's say, you know, I don't even want to put this as panic. I'm talking even like undercurrents, like you just kind of like go through the day feeling really busy or always feeling overwhelmed or always feeling behind, right? Though even that type of feeling, let's put that under the category of stress. So if we're in stress, then that means the sympathetic nervous system is highly active and active most of the time. And what happens is that part of the nervous system isn't meant to be dominant for long periods of time. It should be in very short bursts, and then we should return to rest and digest state. So if we're holding like this chronic stress, which we inevitably will if we're carrying disordered eating with us in our lives, because that's going to continually propel stress. I'll show you how. What happens to the mind is stress impairs it, okay? It impairs the mind from performing in ways that are necessary to end disordered eating patterns. So these ways include learning, right? If we're super stressed out, we can't function right and learn properly. Our memory's impaired, right? These are all things that science, this isn't things that I've discovered. This is things that scientists and researchers and people smarter than me have discovered. So it affects learning, it affects memory, concentration, decision-making, habit forming, mood, anxiety, et cetera, willpower, awareness. Now notice how this list, everything on this list affects your eating, right? And affects your ability to heal from disordered eating, right? Because for learning and learning new patterns, we need to have that function working really well to end disordered eating. Same with memory. So in those moments, we can actually remember, right? Because especially like, what was the quote before, right? The minute the urge comes to mind, it's like there's no turning back, right? There's no rational or logical thinking. So we need to be able to access these places within ourselves. So concentration, decision-making, habit forming, right? All of this is about creating new patterns. Mood, right? If you've ever struggled with emotional eating, I know that was a huge thing for me, and how I would use food to calm myself and numb myself. And also willpower, right? My goodness, above all things, willpower. We get so stressed that our willpower isn't enough to deal with this. So, and of course, awareness. So stress impairs the mind from these core functions that not only do you need to heal, but you need to continue to sustain, you know, proper proper patterns in the future, right? Because it's not just about finding a fix for now. It's about finding a sustainable fix that will last you forever. So we need to get ourselves to a place where we're no longer impaired in these areas due to the stress from the disordered eating. It not only affects the mind, though, it also impairs the body from performing in ways that we need for optimal functioning. So some of these ways include fat burning. Like, the body cannot, and I used to work in weight loss, so I used to know a lot more about this stuff, but I promise it's not, again, it's not my ideas. People much smarter than me have discovered this through scientific methods, but it does affect our ability to burn fat. Like, if we're in fight or flight mode, we are not good fat burners. We can't be. It's the body purposefully holds on to fat, actually. It will hold on to fat for dear life if we're in that fight or flight mode, because it's not safe to burn fat, because we need to hold on to it. Because what if in case of a famine, right? The body doesn't operate from logic. It operates based on feeling. So we need to communicate in ways that the body can understand. Same with weight loss, obviously, right? We can't lose weight if we're in that chronic stressed out state, at least not sustainably. We might be able to lose weight and then gain it back plus more. That's usually what happens when we're carrying these patterns. But if we want long-term sustainable fat burning, weight loss, digestion, absorption, elimination, all of these things, we need to be able to have the parasympathetic system be our physical home rather than just a place that we visit from time to time to relax ourselves here and there. Okay. So basically, when we are in stress mode, it takes up all of our energy. And I hear it a lot from people, especially one of the big side effects of disordered eating is just emotional draining. Like, I can't even have the energy to like function in my relationships or at work because I'm just so exhausted from the fight. I don't know if you guys have felt that before. But I know I felt that way, that it was like I couldn't even move on to the next chapter in my life because this was taking up so much of my energy. And I was just exhausted from that internal battle of, oh, will I binge tonight? And the guilt and the shame and all of the things. It's exhausting. So if you're feeling exhausted and depleted, you are in the right place right now, because this is the step you need to take in order to reverse this pattern. Okay. Okay, now, first of all, pardon me for all of the words on the slides. I didn't want to leave anything out for you guys, so I wanted to make sure. So let me give you some examples now. So first of all, let me just say this. The mind, I'm at the top, if you see the top of the slide. The mind, so we're talking either subconscious or conscious mind, and the body, they're all connected very intimately. Think of them as forever married. So all of these effects, right, overlap. So what you do to the mind will affect the body. What you do to the body will affect the mind. So I'm just going to give you a really simple example, and then we'll go to some like binge examples. So here's just a simple example I think anyone can relate to, right? So have you ever, let's say, been driving in the car and you just think of a fight that you had with someone, right? Thinking of a past fight that you had that's making you angry now. So what might happen when you're reliving that fight in your head? So first of all, that's anger, right? So that's a form of stress. So your physical and your mental reactions will impair both your body functioning and your mind functioning. So how will that happen? Number one, let's look at the physical body. First thing that will change is your breath. Okay. Your breath will get short. Your breath will get shallow. You'll be doing chest breathing. You'll probably be breathing through your mouth instead of your nose. There will be tension in your muscles. Your heart rate will increase. You might have digestive issues if this is a chronic anger thing that comes up. Maybe headaches. Maybe your immune system will become weaker. High blood pressure. Again, this is not my own findings. This is findings of many, many scientists that came before us. So that's on a physical level. But on a mental level also, it affects our ability to focus or think clearly when we're angry. Like, what's that saying? It's like the veil of anger or something like that, that blinds us. Poor cognitive functioning or memory. It can also lead to anxiety and depression or create those things or be born out of those things. So basically what we're getting at here, and look at the example. I don't know if you guys can see my little cursor here, but you see the word thinking, how it's in all caps and underlined under the example second sentence. So notice that all of these can happen, not just during the fight that you had, but just thinking about it. It's so important to understand this. Just the thought of the fight, reliving it in your own mind, can affect and will affect your physical and mental functioning. Isn't that amazing that just a thought can do that? And this is what is important to understand when it comes to binge eating, because a lot of what we're dealing with here are thoughts, right? The thought of the trigger food, the thought of, will I be able to sustain this through tomorrow? The thought of, I look fat right now. The thought of, what's the number on the scale? The thought of, oh, I can only have one more of these and then I reach my calorie limit, right? All of these thoughts are going to affect us physically and mentally. It can't not. So let's look at some examples of, and I always put restriction and binge eating because they always go together. Examples of restriction and binge eating that fuel stress reactions. Okay, so here are some examples. Thinking of food, again, just the thought alone. Like I used to have these cookies that were my trigger foods, and even just the thought of them, I would notice myself holding my breath, everything's contracting, muscles are tense, right? Next, worrying about weight. Worrying is also thinking, right? Worrying, again, thinking, will I binge later? Next one, scarcity thinking. Again, we're still in the thought realm. When we say things like, oh, I can't have more than this, or I can only have one, or I need to diet forever, I need to go on my diet tomorrow. Next one, being in the presence of triggers. Okay, so actually being in the presence of triggers, like if this were my cookie, I would feel, right, the anxiety. So that could be something that you experience in supermarkets, around certain foods. If you're home alone, that might be a trigger. Parties might be a trigger. Certain people might be a trigger. Events might be a trigger. So even just not being in the presence, but thinking about triggers, like, oh, I have a party next week, or I have a vacation next week. That can be a trigger. Oh, I want to look good in my bathing suit for next month. That can be a trigger. So even again, we're still in the realm of thoughts. And it's important to notice that. Next, guilt and shame, right? So these are more emotions than thoughts, but they go together. Self-criticism and anger towards yourself and others, that's stressful, right? To be not only giving the beating, but taking the beating and beating yourself up, right? That's stress. That's stress for the body. That's stress for the mind. Also fear, disappointment of failing, even succeeding can be stressful. Right? Because then there's the pressure to maintain. Oh, I've gone 3 days without binging. Oh, I hope I can keep it going today, or how long until it gets easier? Right? So all of these things can trigger these stressful reactions, right? Bringing us right into the fight or flight, where then we lose and our ability to heal ourselves is drastically impaired. So we're basically in a loop, continuously putting ourselves in more weakened and weakened states where we can't lift ourselves, right? Because not only is our mental power depleted, but also our physical power is depleted. Like the body physically gets depleted. So even just these thoughts cause these mental and physical reactions. And when we experience this ongoingly, so if you've been struggling this for months or a year or 5 years or 10 years or 50 years, right? You've been continuously depleting the power of the mind and the power of the body. Now, first of all, don't be afraid, because we can build that back up and we can do it pretty quickly. But it's important to understand what brings us down and why it's not just, you know, airy fairy up in the air stuff. This is having physical effects. Okay. So what happens when we have these stresses, right? What do we want to do? We want to numb with food, right? I've talked to people who have had health scares thinking that that would scare them into a healthier way of living. But instead they were so scared from the health scare that then they would numb with food even more, right? Which is totally understandable. I'm not criticizing. I've done this. Like I've looked up like what negative things can happen if I keep binging. And I've tried to scare myself into stopping, you know, back in the day. And when I would get all scared, I'd be like, ah, now I need to eat. So that's the old reaction, is to always numb this stress out with food. And that's it's a coping tool, right? Nothing negative about it. But if we're here, we know that that's not what we want for ourselves. So the new reaction that we're focusing on right now is to shift to the parasympathetic state, to rewire the brain and the body's reaction towards these triggers. So it's no longer about getting rid of triggers or avoiding triggers or running away from triggers. Instead, we need to retrain ourselves around the triggers. Does that make sense? Because, and here's why, we cannot control the world. I want to. I really want to sometimes. I want to control the world, but I can't. So, and none of us can. We can control one little crucial element of the world, which is ourselves. And even that can be quite a challenge. So we don't want to try to spend and expend and deplete all of our energy by trying to control the world and trying to control the triggers. And, oh, if I go to this party, I need to eat 5 hours before and I need to look at the menu in advance and blah, 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 blah. Like, who wants to spend their time like that? I know that we don't. That's why we're here. So if controlling triggers, right? And this is what a lot of professionals teach. We need to control the world. We need to, you know, control the number of calories. We need to control the people we put ourselves around. We need to control what parties we go to and if we've eaten before, blah, blah, blah. But if controlling triggers around you is your approach, you will be always, forever dependent on everyone and everything except yourself. And what I've learned the hard way is if I'm trying to wait for the world to line up perfectly so I can do my thing, it ain't gonna happen. So this is really an unstable approach. It's unsustainable because you can't control others, right? So if we need to control others for us to succeed, then our success is dependent on external circumstances. How out of control does that feel to have our success depend on outside influences? That's very unstable. I don't like the feeling of being unstable. I want to feel very structured, very in control. So let's focus on what we can control. So what is in your control? First of all, not the triggers. Okay. Triggers will always happen, right? You'll walk into a gas station and there will be that candy bar right there, right? We can't control the triggers. Instead, what we can control is two things, our actions and our reactions. They're different. I'll explain why they're different. So first, we want to focus on productively creating your actions and reactions by shifting to that relaxed parasympathetic state. This will train your body out of the stress response around food and into a calm and controlled response. So why are both actions and reactions important? So with actions, you're setting up a foundation. So think of it as doing like building your foundation and like doing the prevention work. Okay. So if I'm trying to practice, let's say, being more calm in my life, I'm not only going to practice that when I'm feeling stressed out. Right? I want to do it daily in my daily life. Like I'll do whatever practices are going to make me calmer, like maybe breathing, meditation, whatever. I'll practice that. So that way, by the time that something does happen to make me angry, let's say I'm driving and someone cuts me off on the road, right? That might trigger anger, right? So I don't want to just wait till something like that happens to start using my tools. Because I'm already in like a more weakened state. So the odds of me being able to pull from my tools without having practiced before, and now I have to use them really well when I'm already in a weakened state, I'm kind of setting myself up for not a great result. Whereas let's say I practice like all week and I practice making myself calm in just regular everyday situations. And then when something triggering happens, it's still a little more challenging, right? Of course. But I've already been practicing for a week. So I'm already kind of in the mode of, oh yeah, I just need to do this. Does that make sense? So we want to do both here. And I've seen, because we've had, you know, just working with people, and this is my tendency, is like, I'll learn the tools and then I'll just use them whenever I'm freaking out. But it's not gonna, that's only, that's, your results will be inconsistent, basically. Like, you'll still get there, but it'll be a lot slower and it'll be a lot more inconsistent. We really need to have both components. We need to have the actual regular practice, and then we need to have the practice in the higher stress situation where you're reacting and using what you've learned and what you've been building. So we want to have the actions and the reactions. So now we're going to go into the first tool. Let me just check and make sure I'm still connected with you guys. Ooh, okay, got some comments. All right, I'm going to look at them. I'm going to look at them a little bit. Oh yeah, you guys are sharing. Yeah, some of the times where you've noticed the stress. I know. I've believe me, guys, I am just living it every day. So okay. Let's go into your first tool. Now, I'm going to give you several tools over the course of this 4-week training. I want to focus on just one tool today. And that's your breath. Now, the breath, we've done a couple podcast episodes on the breath already. All right. Now, the breath, you've probably heard me say the breath is like a barometer. Okay. It shows us what's going on in the mind and body. So if I'm standing here in front of you and I'm breathing like this, like, what is my state? Like, you can tell just from looking at me, like, what's my mental state if that's how my breath looks, right? Or if I'm like this, what's my state? You can tell. I'm not saying anything. I'm not telling you, here's my emotions. I'm not even giving you very much body language. But just from seeing the breath and how that moves through the body, you can tell that I am not in a good place, right? You can see that from the breath. And you can also feel that within yourself, right? Because if you can see it in me, you can feel it in you. So now, on the other hand, what if I start controlling my breath and I stand here and I go, so different. I even just felt that difference. I don't know if you guys could feel the difference, but notice how that's a much different breath. And all I did was change my breath, but you can feel a difference in my state, right? So the breath, what's nice about it is it's very controllable and very trainable, very trainable. I've been training with the breath for years now, and it's very trainable. And I used to be a huge smoker too. So you can undo a lot of damage by just starting now with right where you are. Another beautiful thing about the breath is it's always with you. It's free. You'll have it till you die. You'll have it wherever you are. And that's why we like to teach, the breath first, is because we never want you to have to, try to control the world around you. The tools that we're going to give you, we want them to be all within you, so that way you always have them, right? You don't need your insurance to cover it. You don't need, you don't need to carry it in your bag. Like, you always have this. So it's a very convenient tool. And I'll give you another tool next week that's also already within you. So this is the breath directly and significantly affects both body and mind functioning. I would love to go into the science of this, but we do have an episode that already kind of covers the science of this, where Danny May, who's a breath expert, comes and shares. But as you can see, even just visually, how it affects the body and mind, right? You can see it. But there are many, many, many scientific studies that show how different breathing patterns affect the physiology and affect the mind in different ways, whether it's for certain moods or certain reactions in the physical body, for metabolism, heart rate, immunity. All of these things can be controlled through the breath. Science didn't used to think, not that science can think, but scientists didn't used to think that we could make these shifts in our mind and body using the breath. But over decades of research, it's been shown more and more and more how powerful a tool this is and how deep this actually goes. I don't even think we've even fully uncovered how deep this actually goes yet. But your breath, it is the physical key to understanding and controlling your mind. And your mind, the mind is the part of you that needs the most training here in ending whatever disordered eating patterns that you have, right? Because it's all up here. It is. All the thoughts, all the compulsion, all the obsession, it's all in here, right? It's not in the calories. It's up here. So instead of trying to, what most people do is fight the mind, right? Oh, the mind wants this, but I'm going to say no. And I'm going to say, oh, well, I'm going to call it a pig, or I'm going to call it, you know, the devil, or I'm going to, whatever people use to kind of like gear up for that battle to fight the mind. It's not necessary. And it's exhausting. Like, who wants to fight forever? I personally am not much of a fighter. So instead of trying to fight the mind, we just want to use breath as an entry point to now learn how to gently control it and gently relax it. So it can start releasing these patterns of compulsion and obsession. So that way it can be a peaceful process. It can be a healing process, and it doesn't need to wear us down even more. Because I know for myself that back when I was trying to fight myself every day, I could do it for most of the day, right? Like if I wanted a cookie at lunch, like I could fight it. But then I would, that fighting, it depletes willpower. By the time evening comes, I got both of my arms and a whole box of cookies, right? So what we want to do, we don't want to set ourselves up to deplete ourselves. And that's what most people make the mistake of, is they use patterns that are depleting instead of energizing and building. So we want to be gentle and gentle, but still very powerful. So it goes both ways. So whatever we do to the mind, your body will be affected. And whatever we do to the body, your mind will be affected. Like I said, they're married. They're married forever. So by learning to control your breathing and the state of your body's muscles, which we'll talk a little bit more about next week, you're bringing yourself from a fight or flight state into the rest and digest state. And in the rest and digest state, that's where all of the positive body and mind side effects become possible. These are the ones that we already talked about. So these are the ones, right? The learning, the memory, the concentration, habit forming, mood, shifting from anxiety to calm, increasing willpower, increasing our level of awareness, right? All of this happens to the mind when we're in the rest and digest state. So the more we can bring ourselves into the rest and digest state, rather than continuing to propel ourselves into the fight or flight, we're increasing our capacity for all of these things. And all of these things are absolutely necessary to heal long-term patterns of disordered eating. Also, the body too, right? It's not just about the mind, it's the body too. The rest and digest state also allows optimal functioning in the body to take place. So if we're in rest and digest mode, we're gonna be the best fat burners. We're gonna lose weight loss without the effort, right? We're gonna improve our digestion, decrease bloating, increase absorption, elimination. We can fight disease better. We can rest and recover better. We can free up our energy for the body to heal, right? If we're in fight or flight, the body doesn't use that energy to heal. It uses it to survive, but not to heal. We can only heal, right? Mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, right? When we're in the rest and digest mode. Okay. So this is where we want to get to, and we're going to use the breath to help us get there. It's going to be our first tool that we're going to use to help reinforce this state, so all of these things become so much more possible and easy. Okay, so here are the basics, and I'm going to go over the basics. Let me just make sure I'm still connected to the internet. Yes, I am. Oh, yay. Hey, Mary. Okay, so here are the basics of how to activate your parasympathetic nervous system, right? Your rest and digest nervous system using your breath. Let's go over each of these points. And the reason I want to go over each of these points, by the way, for those of you who don't know my history, I've been teaching yoga and breath work for, gosh, more than a decade now. Holy moly. And one thing that I've learned just from watching so many people breathe in person and online and stuff like that is when you miss the technique, it affects everything. So, for example, we had somebody who she joined our program and we give like very guided, you know, practices to learn this technique. And she was doing it. And after a week, she was like, I'm still feeling like I don't feel different. Like I still feel stressed. So we got on Zoom and I looked at her and I watched her do it. And she was breathing completely backwards. So when she was inhaling, she was actually sucking in. And when she was exhaling, everything was expanding out. And that was totally creating the stress response for her. So as soon as we flipped it, it was like, oh, the skies opened up. So don't be discouraged, because sometimes it's a technique issue. Sometimes it's a mindset issue. Sometimes it's a technique issue. But I want to go through the basics of the technique now, and then we'll practice together. So that way you have it and you feel more confident, you know, practicing throughout the week. So the first thing is that we want to do deep abdominal breathing. Some people say breathe through your diaphragm, breathe through your abdomen. None of those things are anatomically correct, but it does help to get the visual and the understanding of where you're breathing. So just around like the area of your belly button, right? That's, or your pelvis, that's where you actually want to breathe into. And so most of us, you know, throughout the day, we're breathing shallowly through our chest. Like, and the chest is just, right? I'm exaggerating so you can see, but so the chest goes up, but the belly doesn't move. So instead, what we want to do, and I'll show you with my hands so you can get a sense, is as we inhale, the belly goes like this. As we exhale, the belly goes like this. So try it a few times with me. So as you inhale, just imagine like 360 degrees, everything expanding around the belly. And then as you exhale, it's going to help if you sit up straight, by the way, or stand. So it's the inhale that expands the belly. It's the exhale where everything goes in. It's like you're squeezing the air out. Does that make sense? So that's the first piece, is you need to make sure you're breathing properly, not backwards. So it's inhale, expand. Exhale, let it go. And notice I'm mostly breathing through my nose here. Obviously I'm talking, so there's a little bit of mouth breathing, but there's a huge significant difference in terms of how it affects your nervous system, your parasympathetic nervous system, whether you're mouth breathing or you're nose breathing. You want to be nose breathing, and not only nose breathing throughout the practices I'm going to teach you, but train yourself nose breathing throughout the day. Nose breathing, abdominal breathing. If you catch yourself breathing through your mouth, whether it's the inhale or the exhale, close your mouth and then practice through the nose. It will affect your nervous system significantly. And yes, there's science to back it up, blah, blah, blah. There's a book called Breath by James Nestor. It's a little sciencey for my taste, because I'm, you know, more into the practical, but it explains the significant difference that happens on many levels to the body and mind during mouth breathing versus nose breathing. So we want, for our purposes, because we are focused on getting a very specific result here, we want nose breathing. And I'm not saying that if you use mouth breathing for other types of breathing patterns or chest breathing, that that's wrong. Not saying that. I do all kinds of breathing practices. And some of them do include specific intentional mouth breathing or chest breathing. But for what we're doing here, for what we want to achieve, this is what we want to do. So deep abdominal breath, inhale, belly expand, exhale, belly in, and we want to breathe through the nose. Okay. Now, bullet point number four, we want to lengthen and deepen. So when you first start breathing, it might be a little shorter and more shallow, right? Like if I'm just, let's say I'm blah, I had a crazy day, and then I come down to breathe. In the beginning, it might be, right? That's 2 seconds in, 2 seconds out. Okay, pretty short. But if I focus and I just let myself go a little longer, I might be able to lengthen and deepen the breath. So I might, notice how already in a few breaths, I can get a little longer, I can get a little deeper. Okay. What do I mean by deeper? Is I'm expanding my abdomen as much as I can. Full breaths, and then I'm squeezing it all out. Okay, that's deepening. Lengthening is obviously just making the breath last longer. Now, the last point that's important is we want the exhales to be longer than the inhales. This is what activates the parasympathetic nervous system as well. So the exhales can be longer, even twice as long as the inhale. So, and we're going to practice this today. We're going to practice in just a couple minutes. We're going to practice inhaling for 4 seconds and exhaling for 6 seconds. And we talk about this in our podcast with Danny May as well, about the importance of the exhales being longer than the inhale. I also wrote an article about this for the Epic Times with the exhales being longer than the inhale and how that affects our functioning in terms of this work. So these are the big basics to focus on with your breath work. Okay. This is more of like the technical part of it. Let me just see what's coming next. Oh yeah. So these are the things to keep in mind, but what I wanted to do today, because you know, what we don't want is for you to be like, oh, I have to focus on all these things and now I'm stressed and da da da. So first, let me just remind you of the mindset, right? That we need to go into this without the attitude of perfection. We need to go out into this with the attitude of, I'm allowed to not be that great at this for the beginning. That's fine. But what I also wanted to do is actually guide you through a practice that you can refer back to throughout this week. So you can actually practice it with my voice guiding you. And for those of you guys who have done our program already, what I recommend for you, since you already have dozens of recordings for me in the program, stick with the ones that are in phase one. Okay. In the first module, in the first phase, do any of the recordings in there will guide you into this state. So you can practice with the recordings that you already have. For those of you who have not worked with us already, you're going to have this. So you can save, you know, this recording somewhere. And then you can refer back to it throughout this week as we practice. Okay. So, blah, blah, blah. I see there's questions. I will make sure I get to them. If not today, definitely throughout this week. So let me go into our practice. Okay. So for this, we're going to practice right now. It's only going to be a few minutes, but I want you to at least feel it now a little bit. Again, who cares if it's perfect? It's not going to be. We'll let that go now. But let's just get the feeling now. So that way, when you practice later, you're only going to be reinforcing. So the first thing we want to do is we want to sit with a straight spine or stand with a straight spine or even lay down with a straight spine. You can do this any of those in three positions. So you want everything to be straight, symmetrical. You can allow the palms to rest on your thighs or alongside you. You can let the arms be heavy. Now, in order to get the most out of this, I want to invite you to close your eyes, as long as you're not driving. Why? Because when we get rid of one of our senses, the other senses become heightened. And what we want to do now is we want to heighten the sense of feeling, right? So if we take away seeing, right, then we're going to be able to focus more on feeling, right? It's like how when you're driving in the car and you get lost and then you turn down the radio because you're like, oh, I need to focus on where I'm going. So you get rid of the sense of hearing, right? You get rid of the radio. So that's what we want to do here is we want to turn down like the radio so that way you can focus on feeling, because all of this is going to be about that, because what you are doing is you're shifting your state. So we need to feel that. Okay, so I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and I will just guide you and you just set the intention to do your best, let God do the rest, okay? So sit with a straight spine. Allow the eyes to gently close and relax the arms down. Now softly close the lips while also relaxing the jaw. So now you're initiating very slow nostril breathing. Very gentle, just noticing in through the nose, out through the nose, not trying to control it too much. Just feel the air enter the nose and leave the nose. You might feel the air hitting the nostrils. And just notice what the breath is doing right now. Is it shallow? Is it short? What is it like? And just try to make it a little bit more rhythmical. Good. Now, as you keep doing that, just lift the crown of the head to the sky, just to straighten the spine a little bit more. And now we're going to start to deepen the breath. So deeply inhale. And through the nose, deeply exhale. Press all the air out. Do it two more times. Deeply inhale. Belly expand and exhale. Belly goes in. Now we can even coordinate some movement. So deeply inhale, lift the shoulders up to the ears. Exhale, roll the shoulders down the back. Good. Try that two more times. Inhale, lift the shoulders towards the ears. Exhale, roll the shoulders down the back. One more time. Inhale. Exhale, release. Good. Now keep that nice, gentle breathing. Nice and rhythmical through the nose. Letting it become a little bit more slow. And now just take a moment to soften the face. Maybe you're holding some tension in the face. So just relax the forehead. Okay, imagine the eyebrows are separating from one another to relax the forehead. Relax the eyes. Gently separate the back teeth to relax the jaw. Soften the lips. See if you can soften the shoulders any amount, letting the shoulders be heavy. Relax the arms any amount, let the arms be heavy. And just keep breathing. See if you can relax the abdomen, let the abdomen be soft and relaxed. Good. Relax the hands and fingers. Now let's all bring our awareness to the abdomen. Okay, so we're going to continue nose breathing. So as you inhale through the nose, notice the abdomen expanding. You can even put your hand there if that helps. And as you exhale, just gently feel the abdomen pressing in to squeeze all the air out. Try that again. Deeply inhale. Expand the abdomen. And exhale, abdomen goes in. Good. Now we're going to focus, keep going like that. Now we're going to focus on adding a rhythm. You're going to inhale for 4 seconds, and you're going to exhale for 4 seconds. Okay, simple. We'll do a few rounds of this together. So to prepare for that, let's all just take one deep breath together. Exhale, release. And now we count. Inhale. 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3. Last one. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Release the pattern for a moment. Re-relax the face. Right? You might already feel a little bit different, but now what I want us to do is do a little bit longer of an exhale for that relaxation effect. So this time we're going to do a few rounds where you'll still be inhaling for 4 seconds, but we're going to exhale for 6 seconds. Okay. So it's an inhale for 4 and an exhale for 6, and I'll guide you through it now. So we'll take one breath together to prepare. So deeply inhale, exhale completely. Now again, through the nose, deeply inhale, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Inhale, 2, 3, 4, face still relaxed. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Inhale, 2, 3, 4, shoulders still relaxed. Exhale, two, three, four, five. Last one. Inhale, two, three, four. Exhale, two, three, four, five, six. Good. Now forget the count and just keep focusing on lengthening and deepening your breath. Relax your forehead any amount. Relax your jaw any amount. Relax your shoulders any amount. And relax the arms and hands any amount. And let the breathing return to normal. Keep the eyes closed. And just notice how the body feels. Not trying to change it. Nothing right or wrong. Just notice any observations on how it feels. We'll take one deep breath here. Deeply inhale, expand the abdomen. And exhale, let it go. And allow the eyes to open. Okay, so that's a practice. I feel actually different, even though I was talking through most of that. I actually feel different. So yes, you do nose breathe also in the exhale, for those of you who are asking, unless your nose is blocked. If your nose is blocked and you have like sinus issues, they can open up by continuing to practice nose breathing. But if not, imagine like you're breathing through a tiny straw through the mouth. And that can also be a good effect. So it would look like this. Deeply inhale. Right. Good. Jen just said, makes me feel like I need to sleep. Yeah, that and as you practice this, guys, over the next few weeks, I'll tell you how to practice it, how to structure this in terms of like with your eating. But you will notice, especially if you've been running on empty for a long time, you will feel like it's making you tired. Okay, it's not. It's gonna give you more energy, but it might make you notice how tired you already are. which is fine. That was something I had to go through as well. So I was like, why is this making me tired? Oh, wait, I already was tired. I just didn't notice because I was constantly still like running, like my head was cut off. But yeah, keep practicing and it will keep giving you that relaxation effect. And we do, actually in our program, we do specific exercises, not exactly this, but very along those same lines for sleep as well. So yeah, Jen's like, oh yeah, I'm definitely on empty. Yeah, and that's okay. We meet ourselves where we are, right? Like we're here. Like you guys, like those of you who are here right now or who are gonna listen to the replay, like we are the minority. And I say that in the most positive way possible, that we are the minority. We are the people not doing the conventional stuff that never works. We're here to forge our own path and connect with ourselves and build the power from within instead of relying on external things. This is what we always want, is not to disempower and say you're now have to be dependent on something or someone else, but to show you how to create this power within yourself. Sabrina says, is there a time of day to practice that's best? So let me go over that with you now. Let's go over some logistics so you can know how to do this. So here's how to practice at home. So here's my suggestion. And yes, we can be overachievers and do more, but I want to give you the most important. So what we want to do, especially since we have this pattern, whether we recognize it or not, we have patterns around eating where we are holding our breath and we are breathing shallowly, because anytime we feel stressed, that will automatically happen. You might notice that this week. So what we want to do is we want to shift to the parasympathetic or the rest and digest state with breath work during these specific times, before eating, while you're eating, and after eating. So, and I'm going to go over some parameters in the next few slides here. So that way you know how to do this. And I'll also let you know, remember I told you how there's like some things to watch out for, some common like mistakes that people make. I'll go over those too. So, okay. So when you sit down to eat, right, the next, and you do it every time, whether it's a snack, whether it's a meal, whether it's literally a bite of something, no matter what it is, sit down wherever you are. Okay. I used to literally practice this, like, even if I found myself eating out of the refrigerator, I don't know if you guys have that habit. I had that habit where I would just like open the refrigerator and while I'm thinking about what to eat, I'll just start eating. Even if you're doing that, sit down and just practice this first. Okay. So you're not trying to control the actual food itself. You're not trying to control how much you're eating or what you're eating or anything like that. You're not counting calories. You're not focusing on that. Instead, you want to focus on the state that you're in when you're eating. Okay. And you want to shift to the parasympathetic. Now, I'll tell you what can happen. So when you sit down to eat, right, before you even touch the food, you know, put your hands down, practice that breathing that I just taught you. Inhale for 4, exhale for 6. Do that not to check it off the checklist, but do it so that you actually can feel a physical difference, like how you just did where you were like, oh, I'm a little sleepy. Like, get yourself to that place, okay, as best as you can. And remember, we're not doing this with the perfection mentality, and any bit counts. So even if you're like in a chaotic state and you're like, oh, I can't sit through all that, do one. Okay. Just do one breath, any amount. I'm repeating that, any amount is still training the brain. It doesn't need to be perfect. And just because you did it beautifully and it worked great one time doesn't mean the next time it's going to be like that. But let yourself do any amount without holding yourself saying, oh, well, I took 5 breaths last time, so this time I need to do 8. No, let it be any amount, but just do the best you can and focus on shifting to the parasympathetic state where you get that relaxed feeling. Now, so do that before you start eating. But also be mindful while you're eating, because I know for me, if I'm eating and I'm distracted by something, I might start being peaceful and calm and breathing and relaxed, but then I get distracted and I'm watching TV, or for those of you who have kids, the kids start running around, right? We get distracted and then we might go back into the parasympathetic. So if you notice that, oop, now I'm in shoveling mode, or now we just want to bring ourselves back. So we don't have to stop eating, right? But we just pause for a moment. We say, okay, before I continue, let me just shift my state again. And I'm not giving you a specific number of breaths, okay? Instead, I'm saying pay attention to the feeling, okay? And after eating as well. So when you're done, check your state, right? Notice what your breath is doing. And so when you're sitting there and you're done eating, you're like, all right, let me check my state right now. And let me see if I can get myself any amount more relaxed than I am right now. And that's the attitude, guys. Let me see if I can get myself any more relaxed than I am right now. I'll tell you that there's a thing to watch out for related to that, but I'll tell you in a second. So the first parameter here is before eating, during eating, and after eating. Focus on shifting into the parasympathetic state. You can also use this throughout your day, right? When you're stressed about something, you're like, oh my God, I have, you know, this thing later and I'm all stressed and I'm driving. Practice, don't close your eyes while you're driving, but practice slowing down your breath, abdominal breathing, nose breathing while you're doing that. So you can use it to go to sleep, right? You do it laying in bed. You can do it when you wake up, right? You can do it throughout the day. The more you do it, the better. And the more you're breathing through your nose and the more you're doing deep abdominal breathing throughout the day, the better. Of course, can we do it constantly all day, every day? Of course, we're going to be shifting back and forth between parasympathetic and sympathetic. We're going to fight and flight, rest and digest, fight and flight, rest and digest. So you will be flip-flopping back and forth. That's normal. That's part of the human experience. It's not about, oh, well, now that I'm in the parasympathetic state, so I need to stay there. No, it's about being able to transition yourself back. So don't worry if you keep going back into fight or flight mode, because all that does is it gives you another practice opportunity to shift right back into the parasympathetic. Does that make sense? So, but I'd recommend that specifically while you're eating, do this practice And also, it can be helpful to have like a little notepad next to you while you're doing it. So you can just take notes, just write down anything that you observe. So, and it could be, you know, anything. I don't want to give anything even too specific because I want you to be focused on your own observations this week, especially, you know, with our program, I can work with people individually and I know you, so I can give like very specific things. But because I'm like speaking in more generalities right now, I just want to say, just take notes on what you notice. So for example, let's say I try this for three meals and I notice that every time throughout those three meals, my shoulders keep going right back up to my ears and my shoulders are holding a lot of tension. So I might write down, oh, the shoulders are the tensest part of my body. I'm noticing that, right? Or that my breath feels contracted, right? So I might write that down. I might write down that, hey, it took me a few extra breaths today to get myself into that relaxed state. We're not here to judge. We're just here to observe, like treat it like an experiment and just write down what you notice. Like, oh, here's where I carry tension. Oh, here I found it a little difficult to breathe through my nose today. Like anything like that, just write it down. Notice how none of this is food related. It's all breath related. And this is why I love about the work we do. We never actually focus on eating. We focus on all of the state of you, because whatever you do, including eating, it will carry through. And then we don't have to try to cut out certain foods or do any of that kind of stuff because it's just not even necessary anymore. And then also the final thing that I'll give you guys to do before I go into the things to watch out for, the obstacles to watch out for, is write your wins. I talked about this a little bit last week, so I'm not going to go too much into it now, but write down your progress and things that you're learning every day in any amount. Remember, any amount, but try to be consistent. The any amount principle helps with consistency, because even if it's not the perfect practice, you're still bringing yourself in the right direction. And that's what matters most, because as long as you get one step in the right direction, you're still one step closer. And the brain is still practicing that new loop, even if it's once. Okay. So any amount, write your wins and practice the breathing while you're eating. All right. So I hope that that is clear. And now I'm going to go, let's see. Okay. So here's the obstacles to watch out for. And these are common mistakes that I see all the time with clients. So I want to share them with you before you practice. Number one, losing sight of the proper mindset alongside the strategy. So remember those beginning slides that I showed you where I said, beginner's mind, don't go for the all or nothing, right? Remember that we need to be patient, not look at this as a quick fix, right? All that mindset stuff. You might even want to review this talk, even if you just kind of do it quickly in a few days, just to remind yourself of the mindset, because what we always find when working with people is that sometimes there's technical mistakes, right? And we can correct those. But I would say like 90% of the time, it's the mindset stuff that keeps people stuck. So we want to constantly reinforce that mindset. And by we, I mean us all to each other. The other obstacle is going back into restriction and weighing mindset, like scarcity mindset of, oh, well, I've been doing really good with these breathing these last few days. Let me weigh myself and see if it helped. No, don't do it. Or, ooh, the breathing is really helping me feel calm and I don't want to eat anymore. So anytime I feel a craving, I'm just going to try to breathe the craving away. No, you still breathe, but you breathe with the intention of shifting your state, not with the intention of trying to push something away. Because the more attention we give something, whether it's to avoid it or to push something away, the more powerful it becomes. So, and it reinforces restriction. And the more we restrict, the more we fuel binges. So if you are going into if you find yourself with these binge urges, don't fall back into the restriction. Just focus on, okay, I'm experiencing discomfort. Let me just focus on shifting my state and practicing this tool. Okay. And let me just be with that for now without trying to control the outcome, without trying to run away from food. Let me just practice bringing my body and my mind into a state where I can function more optimally. And I recognize that I'm doing this to train my body to be like this regularly. So even if it doesn't change my state completely right now, that's okay, because this is going to build on itself and it's going to change my chemistry. It's going to change my biology. It's going to change how I act and think and am, but I need to allow it to take its course. Okay. The third obstacle, third one down, don't do it like a checklist. Like if I'm like, all right, I'm sitting down to eat and now I need to breathe. Okay. All right, check, done. No. We actually pay attention to your state. Okay, that's the point, is to allow the state shift. So pay attention to that instead of being like, oh, did I do it or not do it? Because if you do it, but with the wrong mindset or the wrong technique, it's not going to be as good as if you're just, even if you just took one really good long, like that's going to be even more quality, right? So we want to go for like the quality here. The next obstacle, rushing/impatience. That's another one. In general, I think impatience, it holds people back a lot. But just remember that this is a really rewarding journey that works. Like we've seen this work so many times and it works for everyone who has a human body, because this is just how your physiology works. Like, let it take its course and let yourself meet yourself where you are. You are here. That is the most important thing. You are here now. You are meeting yourself where you are. So let your own divine timing take course. Easier said than done. I know I struggle with impatience a lot, and I've been actively working on my patience for many years now, and I'm still humbled very often in how impatient I can be, which is why I'm emphasizing this. It's impatience is a slippery slope. So just remember, you're here to build a skill, okay? Don't try to get a result this week. Focus on letting yourself build the skill. Okay, because we need this skill. It's the foundation for everything else we're going to do here. And then finally, the last obstacle to watch out for is the all or nothing mentality. So let's say you sit down and you start eating right away. Let's say that. Let's say you sit down, you start eating, and then you're like, oh no, I forgot the breathing. Ah, screw it. We don't want to go into the ah, screw it. Instead, we say, oh, I forgot the breathing. Okay, I just remembered it. So let me just pause now and I'll just do it as soon as I remember. And just do it as that, and that's the any amount, right? Is just do it as soon as you remember. Even if you have one bite left on your plate and that's when you remember, do it then when you remember. If you remember an hour after your meal, do it then, right? Because not only are you gonna get the physical effects, but the brain repatterning, that's happening too, because you're reminding, you're making those associations with your brain of, oh, food, eating, relax. Food, eating, relax. Even if it's an hour later, okay, it's still helpful and it's still in the right direction. So let yourself do that any amount. Don't hold yourself to perfection. It will not serve you in this type of strategy. And so we need to let ourselves, forget and then remember and then bring ourselves back, because so much of this is just bringing ourselves back. Right? We're going to go back into fight or flight. Then we have to practice bringing ourselves back. Oop, then we get angry again. Oop, we bring ourselves back. Oop, now I'm afraid. Oop, I bring myself back. So we don't need to focus on, oh, I lost it. If you lose it, that's fine. That's just an opportunity to bring yourself back as soon as you remember. Okay? So here's the summary of what we did today. So first, we reviewed, okay, this is the mindset. This is the intention. Then we talked about the actual superpower, this rest and digest is parasympathetic part of your nervous system. We talked about how to activate it, the positive side effects. We gave you a tool to practice, the breath, and why that's such a good tool that you always have with you. We did a practice together that now you have. It's recorded. You can refer back to it. You can practice with it daily or as many times as you'd like. You've got instructions for now how to practice this week. Next week, we're going to build on this. So just practice this. Let this be your sole focus. Yes, the mind is going to be like, oh, I'm bored. I want something new. Practice this longer than you think you need to. Okay, practice longer than you think you need to. When we build on this, you'll be like, oh, I see where we're going. And then, of course, we talked about obstacles to watch out for. And of course, you can review this again at any time if you need the reminder. Okay. So again, I'm just putting this on the screen for a second so you can remember how you're practicing at home this week. In terms of writing your wins, I do invite you, if you're in our binge eating, food addiction, emotional eating group, like it's a group of like, I think we're at like 10,000 something people now. You can write your wins in there. Feel free to tag me. I would love to see your wins. Even if I can't respond or if you've got questions, tag me and we'll try to compile all of them for the Q&A sessions. Like I'm here to respond to you and help you. But just remember that the more you look for your progress, the more you will see it. If you don't look for progress, you won't see it. I mean, you might, but you'll see it way more if you look for it. If you look for your flaws, you will see them, right? Like if I look around this room and I look for everything that's blue, I can see, oh, wall, painting, shawl, bed sheet. You know, I can see all the blue, but notice how as I was looking for blue, I didn't notice anything pink. I didn't notice anything red. So if you're just looking for the things that are going wrong or the things that you're not doing well enough, you won't see all the other stuff that's going well. So train your brain to do the wins every day, write them down, lessons you're learning, things you're discovering, things you did well, things you didn't do well, but then learned from after. Like write these down as your wins to remind yourself progress exists right now. I am progressing. I am succeeding. I am doing it. Okay. So, oh, and there's me. There's my head. So Jen has a quick question here that I can answer right now. Jen says, how do you practice this when you're eating out or with family? So think of it this way. You're going to have your formal practice, like where you can go really deep into it when you're alone or with, you know, just tell your family what you're doing, invite them to join you. But the thing is when you're practiced at this and it becomes more natural to you, you will be able to do it around other people and eating out. No one's even gonna know. Like truly, no, I do it all the time. No one notices. Or if they do and they ask, you just say, oh, I was feeling a little stressed and I just want to breathe and relax myself before I start eating. That's it, right? Very simple. And most people are like, oh, okay. No one's really thinking about you that much. The secret is most people are only worried about themselves. but yeah, you can always just explain like, oh, I'm just calming myself right now. But again, once you're more skilled at this, people won't even pick up that you're doing it. But when you're at home, right, and when you're practicing this week, you do want to give yourself the intention to, you know, let yourself focus on this. So either do it by yourself or practice throughout your day by yourself as well. And then if you can even invite your family to do it with you, which is nice. It's especially if you have kids, it never hurts a child to learn how to breathe deep. before eating, during eating, after eating, guys, but let it be, you know, any amount, like let yourself build the consistency more than you're worrying about perfection. And then when we come next week, right, we're going to show up next week. By the way, next week will be shorter than this. This is going to be probably the longest talk we have for this 4-week training, because I really did want to go into more of the background. But starting next week, we're going to build on this skill. And then we're going to build on the skill again the following week. So you're going to notice your own practice progressing. So I'm going to invite you to do this. Write your wins in the group. Feel free to tag me. And I'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much for being here again. I'm going to take some time after we sign off here today. I'm going to look through all the comments and the questions. We'll start compiling a little section so I can address things for you guys as we go throughout the classes. And yeah, let me know keep me posted. I'm always interested to hear about your practice. So thank you guys all for being here. And also I just want to thank you especially for opening yourself to a new type of healing and a new type of solution that I know is, not in the conventional realm so much yet, but the beauty is the science is supporting it. Our results have been supporting it for years, and everyone is capable of doing this. So I'm very excited to hear about your practice and your progress. Refer back to this as you need, and I'll see you guys next Thursday at noon Eastern time. All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.